You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm thrilled to have one of my favorite authors on the show, Diana Loopy. Diana is responsible for bringing forth the cosmic classic, ET 101, The Cosmic Instruction Manual. This manual is one of my all-time favorite pieces of writing, and I highly recommend reading it and savoring every word. Diana's website is located at www.et101.org. Now, since I don't know a lot about Diana, and that's the reason she's on the show, is to find out more, she's graciously agreed to my pestering her to find out more. So let's welcome her to the show right now. Hi, Diana. How are you?
Hey, Lance. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So I think the thing that I am most curious about, I just have to ask you, is how did the ET 101 come about?
Oh, boy, that's a little bit of a story.
You don't have to go there if you don't want to.
No, it's okay. It's actually kind of funny. I was working for the Santa Fe Reporter, and they had asked me to be a columnist. Meanwhile, Santa Fe Reporter, just for some background, is a award-winning, at least at the time I was working with it, award-winning investigative journalist. And it was actually based on Newsday in Long Island. So basically, they looked at pretty straight things. You know, I mean, they're straight journalistic. But I had published a special edition that was about the healing arts, and actually it was very successful, and they were very shocked at it because I don't know why, they must have had their head in the sand in Santa Fe. There are 3.5 healers to every person. I always wondered why anyone was sick in Santa Fe, you know? Anyway, right. So it was news to them because they were not focused in that direction. So then they asked me to be a columnist for them. But meanwhile, I was really getting opened up at that time. This was in the kind of late 80s. And the only thing that was of interest to me was becoming the extraterrestrial issue, you know. And so I wanted to write about that in my column, but I didn't know how to get it in. So I asked, you know, I just asked the forces that be. I said, give me an idea here about how I can get this by them. And then this brilliant idea hit me is that one of the blind spots in this culture is that if something is in print, it has validity.
Right.
Instantaneously. I mean, you know. There's really no rhyme or reason to that one. But nonetheless, it's the way it goes. So what I did is I made up ET 101, and then I reviewed it as a book that was about to be published.
Oh.
So, yeah, I know, and then I had to write the book because I put myself in the corner. But that's how I did it, and it was the publisher. I got called in to the publisher, and, you know, she said, and meanwhile, the publisher, the paper had changed hands. So this was a Rockefeller who is now my publisher, and she said, do you swear to me this book is about to be published in Santa Fe? And I said, oh, absolutely. Would I lie to you? I mean, you know, it's like, and then that's when she never asked me the question, who was the writer?
Oh.
Luckily. So it went to press, and then I absolutely, because I absolutely had to write it, so I did.
Interesting.
I know.
Interesting. You must
It was actually a time warp that happened on that one. It's I was trying to get by them, and I put myself in the corner. It was like the brilliance of it was a double whammy. It was both brilliant to get it through, but it was also put me in a position where I had to produce. So who knows who won on that one, but...
Well, it sounds like it was pretty much spirit, the guidance of spirit, or,
oh, yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. That's one of the spirits. The thing is, spirit always works. It's never one-sided. It's always, always double-edged. So,
oh, yeah.
That's how I backed myself into it. And I took off and did it.
Now, that came out about probably almost 20 years ago, didn't it?
Yeah, right, it did.
And it's fresh today and as contemporary and as riveting and as funny and as informative as it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, actually, there seems to be a second wave. It's like that, you know, it was written at the time it was written, which basically got published to begin with in 1990. And it was, I completed it in 89 in terms of the writing. What happened, is that was, it was aimed at a very specific group, and that group was the Vanguard group, you know. Well, 20 years, it's almost a generation has gone by now.
Right.
And all of a sudden there is a whole new group that made that material. And to be very, very honest with you, because I can't take credit for this part of it, I did have extraterrestrial energies come in. I wasn't even expecting that one. And, I was pretty clear with them though. I said, you know, look, I'm no channel. I don't want to be one. That's basically because I was in Santa Fe. Everybody and their mother channels in Santa Fe. So, I was wary of it. I'm not a Kelly girl. So I'm not going to just sit here and that's not what's going to happen. You know, my name isn't going on this unless I know the truth of what's being said, you know. And so they're very, very respectful in that, you know, it's like sometimes I really balked at some of the things that were being said because I did not comprehend them.
Oh.
And they'd back up, and then they'd give me an experience of it. Within the next 2 days or so, I'd have an entire experience of it. And then I'd say, okay, then I'll put that in.
Wow, it's amazing.
That's how it went. Yeah, it was a very, this whole thing was an experience from the inception of my great idea of sneaking it by the reporter all the way through. The guidance was phenomenal. And the part I can't take credit for, was they did say to me specifically one thing. They said, your job is to create a chalice capable of holding a greater energy. The way I took that, and I didn't quite comprehend what they meant, but what I did was that book was always edited aloud. It was, in other words, the humor made people not get that there was a tremendous rhythm going on there's cadence, there was tonal quality that,
yep.
And that's how I made it, and that's what I edited for, was for sound, not for words. Words are not the important things on this. And then after it was all over, and I finally took some time away from it and came back and read it, I heard the tone that was set into the thing that was actually above audio range.
Yeah,
communicate. I know, and I said, oh, my God.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was pure spirit. And that's why I can't say. The brilliance of it is that in architecture was not done by me. That was done by, I couldn't have thought that complexly, but I did understand that sound was extremely important. A couple of authors ticked it off. They said it's pure poetry. And I said, God, you've picked it up. But because they wrote, they knew that there was something that I was doing there that wasn't normal, at least not normal writing. And that so that was how I, that's how greater energy could exist in it, beyond the words. In other words, the book was a front. The book was a front for an adjustment. And it was a tone that was going out that was saying, wake up, everybody. You know, because they have a lot of people in here right now. We have tons of people in here. Whether they can get up in time, I mean, is always an issue, you know. And so right now there is something going on that where a whole new wave have come to that place, and they were too young at the time. I mean, 20 years is a lot of years. And they're on deck, and that's where the new, you know, the book is going out again. Unfortunately, I'm running out of books, and, you know, everything is at a higher price, but nonetheless, they're still available until I have to come up with some other plan. But by that time, another book will be out, so we'll catch everybody up and onward.
Well, good. And you have articles that you've been writing, too, which are very, very funny and very true. And they're on your website also at et101.org.
Yeah, I had some fun with those. But those are also packed. I mean, I'm not really... There are many people that do political parody that are better than I am. I'm not really trying to do that. Actually, more of it is prophecy than it is parody. But it's also to not give, I mean, this force that, I think it'd be wrong for everyone to underestimate what we're facing here. And the reason is because this is probably, well, there is only one war, and it's a war against consciousness. Now all these other wars are distractive interludes leading to that same place. And of course what the forces that be that have controlled this place for a very, very long time. Excuse me. I just swallowed on time. What they're concerned about is our awakening.
Because well, I think basically we're all yeah, we're all.
Yeah, I know. They're very worried. They're very worried.
So am I.
We have reason to be. Yeah, right. That's true. We have reason to worry about it all.
We sure do.
So, yeah. So that, you know, they're basically parasitic, and they will not be able to exist in a parasitic form if we come to consciousness, because they're feeding off of us.
Right.
In consciousness, they cannot do that. They cannot do that because we're above the vibrational range that would even permit that to go on.
But it's been going on.
So they're fighting for their life at the same time we're fighting for ours, you know. And that life isn't about us simply surviving this. It's about us taking a very huge step in consciousness at this time.
Well, I'm ready. Are you?
Yeah, who knows? But ready or not, here it comes.
Well,
I was told once, this is Mission Control. They're really not named Mission Control. But that's the name that they said. They said, look, when this hits, you're not going to have time to look up a yoga position. You know?
Yeah.
You know, this is going to happen so fast that you're not going to be able to pretend you don't know. And that's what we're doing. We're pretending we don't know.
Right.
That's what they're saying. You know, you can do all this stuff that you want in terms of spiritual preparation.
Right.
But the fact is, when the chips are down, you're going to have to say, this is what I am. It's to be or not to be will be the only question. And we won't be able to. I had an experience of this one, by the way. I had a car accident, which actually paid for writing ET101. But I was rear-ended on I-25. I mean, it was like an impossible accident, and it happened. And I had dreamed about it the night before.
Huh.
So this is another, like, oh, here comes the funding. Well, this car was coming at me at about 20 miles an hour faster than I was going.
Oh, dear.
And I thought, oh, my God. I said, I must be invisible for this to be happening.
Oh.
And then I grabbed the wheel, and I straightened it because I knew I was going to get hit. I hit the accelerator as hard as I could to try to make the impact less. And then I immediately, I am looking at the whole thing from the top of the car. I got out of my body before the hit.
Wow.
So that I didn't sustain it. I mean, I did actually get injured, but not. And I thought, God, that's, you know, you can do a lot of practices to try to do that, you know, to astral project or pull yourself out of the body.
Yeah.
But the fact was the chips were down and I didn't have any time to pretend I did not know how to do that.
Wow. And he still hits you nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes,
boy.
And you know what he said when he got out of the car?
What?
It was a guy from, it was a Los Alamos scientist that hit me in a brand new Toyota Camry or something. I mean, brand new. I mean, insured to the hill. And he got out of the car and he said, my God, you were invisible.
Just
which
what
is
the
you same
thought.
Thing I had thought in the car. Well,
yeah.
The only way this could have happened is if I were invisible.
Well, maybe you were. I mean, they're strange.
I know, that's exactly the point. I said it, and then he said it.
It's so
you know, and it was like, all right, I guess I was.
Could be. Well, now, your guidance that comes from the... From the extraterrestrials or higher dimensions. Did they ever identify any kind of affiliation with a planetary base or a confederation of this or that or Pleiadian or Arcturian?
The only other person who said this, like David Icke gets information from elsewhere. He's never asked them who they are. I never bothered. It was sort of like, I do know that they're not entirely human. I mean, it's a mixed crowd. I do get on mission control, the consciousness is emanating from Uranus. It's all my life I used to tell Uranus jokes. I mean, nobody else understood them. Because you'd have to be. I mean, one of their it is hard to explain. I don't know if I should do it on here, but one of the ones I like to do is hold up a phone to the ear and say a pretend phone to the ear and go hello. To them, that is an absolute riot because we're so telepathic. The idea that we are still doing that has them rolling on the floor.
Oh
I mean,
my
it was
goodness!
Like, you know. Yeah, well, that's a typical, I'll tell you, Uranus jokes do not go over.
So they do have a sense of humor, obviously.
Oh, complete sense of humor. I mean, like, for instance, one time I asked, I said, what on earth is keeping you guys so long? You know, and they said, haven't you got that backwards? It's like, right. It's like, nothing's keeping them. It's what's keeping us is the issue.
Right.
It's just the way they rephrase things and the way that the perspective extremely amusing, you know, because it's like, right.
Well, it feels like a higher form of consciousness that, you know, we're headed towards, but we're not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm. I have to explain, there are two forces that were represented in that book. The other one was the Intergalactic Council. And that's a little bit, you don't tell jokes with them. I mean, it was almost like every time they came in, it was like you were going to OD on magnificence. I never saw anything like the energy that they displayed. Mission Control is a little bit more comfortable and they will joke around but they're very, very, very loving and very kind and very gracious.
Well, that's important.
So,
and of course, it's important that they're not draining our energy like the scavengers that have been doing it on the planet Earth for, you know, probably hundreds of thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
At least tens
yes,
of thousands
yeah, I know.
Of years. Long before we were around.
That's what we're down. This is the showdown. And actually, I have to say one thing about why things haven't really... It's not only the preparation of the people on this planet for, you know, what will be taking place, and that's taken quite a while to get you know, it started with Star Trek. You know, Star Trek was absolutely essential to bringing people into some kind of awareness, you know. And then there's been a steady stream of things to bring in so that we're more comfortable at this point with the idea that we will soon be visited, you know. It's basically that there has been a quarantine on this planet, and that quarantine is coming down. And that has taken a long time to take place.
So that's it.
We're, you know, it's really not even that we're joining a confederation. We're already a party to one. We just have forgotten. And they've had a long wait to watch us come back around.
Is there a timeline in terms of, I know a lot of people are focusing on 2012 and the Mayan prophecies. Do you feel like there's some kind of drop-dead date for the Earth? Like,
no, you know, I think, you know, part of, and one of the things I'm going to be doing in the next writing is, I mean, one of the perplexing issues is, you know, if we're the ones who are waiting for, what are we waiting for? I think it's really time to act in terms of community and in terms of creating new paradigms as best we can.
As
much out of the box as we can at this moment.
Because
2012 isn't going to, I mean, 2012, it's the end of the world only in the sense that the world is a construct. It's a matrix. I mean, it would be as correct to say the matrix is what gets altered at that time, you know.
But
we have been, it has been happening all along, though. I mean, it hasn't, you know, it's not happening all in one moment. We couldn't handle that kind of a leap if it took place in, you know, overnight.
Right,
so everyone's being prepared, but essentially we're, you know, that's what is over at that point, or the beginning of, you know, I mean, who knows exactly. I don't expect on that date that anything. No, we may. Yeah, I think this next 2 years is critical. That's what I think.
Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't wait around for 2012.
No, I think that's really wise advice. And, you know, in 1990, who could have foreseen that there would be a war on terror or 911 or people holding up iPods or body x-ray scanners in airports or the bird flu? You know, I mean, they were talking about fear then in 1990, and look at all the things that have happened now, and they're just clamping down left and right, trying to scare the bejesus out of us.
Yeah, that's basically the message is be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. And the reason they're doing that, that's what I mean about this war being about consciousness and not about anything else, is that they know if we stay in fear, the heart chakra will not open. That's now, there's the gateway, you know, because the thing is that fear and love are incompatible energies. That's why it says in the Bible, it says a perfect love casts out all fear. It's because one is light and the other is the obscuring of light. Now, how can you possibly have an obscuring of light in the presence of the light?
Right.
So the whole trick here is to keep it obscured and to perpetuate the system that we have been running under, which is the one they're feeding off of.
Right.
And they are feeding off our fear. That's the way it looks as if they are in control. The fact is we're in control. And the last thing they want us to know is that we are.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Yeah. So that's the trick. I mean, they're not a creative force. We're the creative force.
Right.
This energies that have parasitized this place are not a creative force. Now, what they're brilliant at is infiltrating everything we create.
Yes.
That they're great at that. I will not say that these are not dumb clucks, that's for sure. They're the most brilliant, devious minds that I've ever seen. But...
Yeah.
They are not the creators of everything. They're not the creators. They are the usurpers. And so, in other words, if they don't have creative power, true creative power, and all they can do is destroy that which is created.
Mm-hmm.
Destroying life and creating life are two different things.
No kidding.
I mean, they're just, and as long as, and they also want everybody to stay down in the lower chakras because those are the survival chakras. So everything's about survival, you know. Oh, we're going to crash the money. You're not going to have a job. You're going to be, you know, everyone's going to be on bread lines. And, you know, people, you know, it's like what they're doing is attacking the lower chakras and keeping us fixated there.
Yeah.
And that's the tactic. I mean, it's like it's very simple. They have done this systematically, actually. If you look at it, every chakra is under attack, you know. I mean, at the sacral, the sexual sacral, you know. You know, what are they feeding that with? Lewdness and pornography and debasement. So that's at a steady diet. It's out there to the point where everyone accepts it, you know. And, you know, and all the way up to the crown, what are you looking at? You know, looking at mind control, MK Ultra, HARP. I mean, you know, it's like, what?
Chemtrail.
So they're going after, yeah, right, chemtrail. You know, what do we get for this, you know, the power shot, you know, the third chakra, where we get junk food, MSG, I mean, every possible thing that could debilitate that from actually being able to function properly. So it's not only that our immune system is under attack physically, but that our spiritual immune system is under attack.
Yeah, absolutely right.
You know, yeah.
Absolutely right. And that's what's sad to me is that most people aren't aware of that. And when you start to talk about it or share that information with somebody who's not prepared to receive it, they think you're insane.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot of they're still pretty much asleep is what's going on. I mean, you know, they're so brainwashed that they don't know they're brainwashed. I mean,
right. And then
everyone is brainwashed, I mean, to some degree, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But because that's what it is to live here. But there are some so far down under that, you know, you couldn't hit them with a 2x4 and have it impact. But, you know, so it's that's the way that goes. I mean, I don't know how the cut goes on this and, you know, what. How many make it and how many don't. But it's not
right.
Like someone won't make it. It's just simply that they'll get to repeat this, which would be, I mean, to me, that's a fate worse than death, the idea that it might have to go to another
23,000-year
cycle doing this. I mean, are you kidding? I mean, this is like ambulatory insanity on the steroids.
I agree with you.
It's so it's like, well, why would I want to do that? You know, I really want out. You know, I want
right.
to do something better.
I agree
something,
with you on that one.
Something that has some kind of sense to it. It's like the film Avatar really touched on that. You know, it's like, are we going to stay in the left brain forever, or are we going to let the right brain have something to say about this, you know? And that's basically one of the images, at least, that came through so powerfully in that film. And David, I read a review he did, and he quoted Oscar Wilde. He said, the left brain knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. It's a good way to put it, because that's it. You know, it's like you're sitting here in a world full of bean counters, you know, and they don't, there's no compassion or empathy. It's just figures, you know.
Yeah.
They'll let bad cars on the road because they'll bean count it and figure out how many lawsuits they will pay and what would a recall cost.
Yeah.
They compare them. And it looks like, well, we make more money if we just let the accidents happen. Well, that's a left brain function.
Right.
And it's like, it lacks compassion, or it lacks any capacity for compassion or empathy. So, all right, so it's just, you're just a figure on a ledger. And, So what? We ruined some lives. I mean, we made more money.
Yeah.
But no, but I mean, that's how people are actually, you'd be amazed at how many people can't even figure out that that one's not quite kosher.
Right.
You know, that they don't really, and that they've been brought up on that thinking for so long that they actually think it's the way to think.
That it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fortunately, as you said, there's the indigos were coming out about 20 years ago, and then the indigos had children, and now I guess there's all kinds of variations on a theme, the rainbows and the crystals and so on and so forth. So, you know, that might lend a little more energy to the consciousness grid.
Oh, yeah, no, the kids that are coming in are prepared for what's coming and not for what has been.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, that, and, you know, and in some cases, they don't even perform well on the testing that was based on an old paradigm because they're not functioning in that manner.
Thank goodness.
But yeah, no, this place is, the fact that they're even here is the greatest help of all because it's obvious we won.
And clearly we have help from our friends, our space family, because, I mean, many people that I talk to, yourself included, have gotten wonderful higher guidance from discarnate entities that we, you know, don't see, but we are able to communicate with in increasingly direct ways. So that's a thrilling experience, too.
Now we're being watched very, very carefully. And we've already actually, there's been a tremendous amount of intercession. A lot of these plans, I don't know if you've noticed it, Lance, with the New World Order and all their, you know, various sundry subdivisions. I mean, everything is coming back in their face. I mean, it's like nothing is quite working any longer. First of all, they can't even pull the same old lie and have everyone go for it. And it, you know, and so people are going like, what? You know,
right.
I'm not buying that one. And a lot of their, you know, false flag events have sputtered and collapsed and, you know.
Yeah.
And they haven't caused as much devastation as they have intended. You know, in many cases it's been lessened, you know. So there's been a lot of interference with them, and one of the greatest interference of all is the fact that this planet is on a vibratory shift where they're not being supported in the same manner that they once were.
Right.
And they only work on a certain, it's 1:04 a.m. or something like that. They're broadcasting somewhere, and yet the place is shifted into, you know, it's shifting into another frequency grid, and so they're having failed attempts at the same old story, you know.
Right.
And basically, it's always the same old story. I mean, we haven't seen any variation on those themes.
Yeah.
I actually, for a while, was just thinking, you know what? The reason why history repeats itself is because the software program has very limited range. In other words, we keep getting the same program redressed with another uniform or another.
Right, because it reaches a certain frequency, since it's a negative manifestation.
Exactly.
And so it can't go higher than a certain level, and so it's always going to be exposed once you go beyond that level and you're at a higher frequency, even if it's just a nanometer worth of, and you'll be able to see through.
Yeah, they only work within a certain band, and they may as well repeat their programs because as long as that band is operative, it doesn't matter that they repackage the program.
Yeah.
I mean, for one example, Nehru, fiddled while he burnt Rome because of the encroachment of the Christians. Then Hitler burned the Reichstag was given, you know, sweeping powers, anti-terrorist powers. It's always terrorism, by the way. When they pull these cards,
Yeah.
You know, Nehru was playing the terrorist card.
Uh-huh.
And so did Hitler play it. And so did Bush. I mean, it's like, that's very simple. It works. It has always worked. Doesn't matter how many times we play it, they fall for it each time.
Oh, yeah, because nobody would believe that they could possibly be capable of doing such a thing.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to imagine.
It's frightening that we could be so gullible.
Mm-hmm.
But we are, and so that's why people like you and me have to kind of, like you said in the ET instruction manual, it's kind of, part of it is poking and prodding, like cowpoke? Poking sacred cows,
yeah.
That was it.
It's true. I mean, actually, the way we have been being herded towards a certain point in consciousness, you know, as well as the dark forces, of course, are trying to herd us over a cliff. But, you know, that's the epic that's playing out at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's been a long battle. And not only here, I mean, part of the thing that about the timing on this planet, about when everything finally comes around, is that we're actually in a matrix that's much greater. I was shown it once, the mathematics on this. They're astounding. Because it isn't just this planet that's going to be graduating from this particular round. This is a cosmic event of great magnitude. So we're not the only consideration.
They showed me
the math on it once, and I was staggered. It wasn't even math like we do it. It was like this holographic picture of all these cogs and wheels and interconnections, all of which had to sync completely with one another, and
Whoa.
They were vast.
Wow.
And I was looking at it and going, wow, no wonder. You know, no wonder. You know, this is, and it's got to be actually absolutely precise. There's no fudge zone in this one. So that's part of our impatience here, is that, because we've been waiting, for many of us waiting a long time now, you know, and it's gotten boring. And
right.
And I know that I'm getting pretty bored with some of the stuff that I'm watching play out, you know.
Yeah.
yeah, it's like, oh, for God's sakes, are they doing that one again? And so it's like, all right, this is getting boring. Let's get on with this one and let's
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, the people that have been in it for a while, they're pretty tired. But you know, it's very close. I will say that. I mean, I can't give it time because, first of all, time isn't even where it unfolds in our time. I can't say, but it's we're just right on the brink of it right now.
Well, I suppose it's good work on developing patience.
Patience, you should move to Santa Fe. People literally sit at a stop sign waiting for it to turn green. I thought it's like a, I never saw anything like it.
Is that where you're living now, in Santa Fe?
Well, no, because I went from New York City to Santa Fe, and I'll tell you, what a lesson in patience that was. Because in New York, you know, if you haven't jumped the light when it's yellow on the other side, everyone behind you will go off.
And at least not three people down.
I know. So anyway, I was trained in a very different way, and then I went to Tennessee and watched this one, and it was like, oh, my God, is this the remedy for what I was brought up with?
it's just a different experience. Hey, there's something interesting that you're talking about. You sent out a little notice about being involved with Max and the Crystal Skulls. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Oh, well, you know, the truth of the matter is, well, I'm going there because a friend of mine, Lee Hanks, has been working with Max for quite a while now. So this dovetailed, and I'm going to be going with them to these various spots. I have not had an encounter with Max yet.
Oh, okay.
I've heard. So I can't even speak for it because I don't really know. But people are having extraordinary experiences, apparently.
Oh yeah, that's what I've heard.
And he will speak to some people. He speaks to directly, and I mean, this is my first encounter, and he's going to be a roommate. I mean, it's just like amazing. So
that'll be wonderful.
Yeah. So this is a great honor that I was even invited.
Absolutely.
Tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and that's going to be in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In
Hawaii, right?
In Hawaii, yeah. That's going to be, the first place will be on Maui, and then I know Kauai and the Big Island will also, but I can't remember which one's first right now. But people can get on, to look that one up is newworldintegrations.com. If you can remember that. But anyway, that's the site where he has that's Lee's site. And you can get more details on the event that are playing out. Or you can write to him. You can get him. I guess I could post it. Yeah, I should post it on my site. So maybe I'll put it up on my site, too.
Because that's something that a lot of people are interested in. Of course, many people know that there's a theory that the 12 skulls, when they're brought together, there's a 13th that's interdimensional that is being kept concealed for the moment when the shift occurs and these skulls will be brought together. And I don't know, I guess they'll have a powwow and they'll slap their jaws and then we'll shift into another dimension. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, you know.
I'd love to see it. It'd be very funny if... I have to have a humorous take on world events.
See, that to me, by the way, what you brought up was important, the 12 and the 13. I think that's the confederation that we're already a party to.
Oh, okay.
And actually, one of the things that hit me off was reading Lost Symbol and then listening to keep forgetting his name, the person who really did the research on that, but the... You know, I watched it in the Dome of Washington. The Capitol Dome is an Ascension Dome. And William Henry was the person who
really... There's a lot of Masonic...
There's
a lot of Masonic stuff going on, too.
Again, as I said, these forces are very good at infiltrating, and I think the Masons, I don't think they were not a bad creation. I read something from Weishaupt who said that they were going to use, who was definitely New World Order, and in Germany, and they announced that the New World Order came out of the closet. It wasn't that it hadn't begun, but in May 1st, 1776, two months before. We declared independence. Now, the interesting thing is this 13. We had 13 colonies, and on the dome of the Capitol building, Washington in his ascension is surrounded by 13 Vestal Virgins. But William Henry pointed out, and I think he may be accurate because it struck a bell. The way I know when something's right is that it's like I already know it.
Right.
And someone says it, and I feel it. And
right.
He said that. And he said the thing, he said that most people say, and if they take you on a tour through D.C., they will say, oh, that's for the 13 original colonies. Well, why did we have 13 original colonies anyway? It's interesting because I looked them up, and by the way, Maine and Vermont were not part of it because Maine was a part of Massachusetts.
Oh.
I mean, how it configured to 13, and Vermont was a part, partially a part of New York State and partially a part of New Hampshire. It didn't exist as a state.
Oh.
It's not that the regions weren't involved, but the states, the way we understand them, that's not how they were.
Well,
why did Massachusetts jump over New Hampshire and claim Maine? I have no idea. But anyway, the 13, first of all, that's a significant number, and it's certainly significant in Mayan calendar. It's the most significant number. And what William Henry was saying, we assume that they're talking about the 13 original colonies, but they may be talking of a confederation that we're already party to.
Oh.
That is outside of here. You see, the symbolism, and actually the Masons were not just talking. I mean, because of the way they constructed everything, they were not talking about political freedom solely.
Right,
they were talking
right.
about true freedom, which is never going to be political. I mean, for a while we started out great, and look at us now. I mean, but that doesn't mean that the holy intention of this nation will not come to fruition.
Right, right.
Even though our political structure is under great duress,
it's about to collapse, I think.
Yeah, I know what's left of it. I'm being nice.
Any luck.
I don't want to alienate everybody. The hell in a handbasket is where it is. But,
right.
But the fact
and the religious
is,
institutions, what? Too.
It's what?
I say the religious institutions are teetering at the brink, too.
Everything is. Our structures are definitely up for review. But the thing is that the Masons may have been talking about something very different. And they knew it at the time, that they, even at the inception of this nation, where they were setting it forward to fulfill that destiny, they may have known far greater information.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I'd never thought of that before, but you're absolutely right.
I know, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean,
it does.
It clicked with me when I listened to him. William Henry's quite brilliant and it's worth listening to.
Yes, I've been listening to his interviews a lot more lately. And he just did one with Patricia Corey, which was outstanding, too. She's one of our show hosts.
All right.
Did you hear about the chatter about the Yemen Stargate? That the all the
Yemen Stargate. I've heard a lot about. Well, not a lot, but I've heard. Yes, that there's a Stargate there. And actually, one of the things I read, and that made total sense to me, was the whole thing of these pirates, the Somalian pirates.
Uh huh.
First of all, those guys are out there. Have you seen any of these Somalian pirates? Like, they're out there in a putt boat. That
I know.
You know, and they're taking. I mean, this is too ridiculous. Are they making huge ships stand down? With their little tugboat?
Crazy.
Happening. The reason they created that story is to keep everybody out of the Gulf of Aden.
Exactly. And
you don't want to go there because we're going to be piratized by these guys that look like they couldn't rip off a convenience store. You know?
On a good day.
right. I mean, it's just... Every time I looked at that, I kept saying, how are they stopping these folks? I mean,
I know, and I never thought of it or questioned it until somebody said, well, why else would all these warships from China and Iran
warships
and
everywhere surrounding this, this whirlpool that has appeared in the Gulf of Aden, and they need a cover story to keep everybody up. You know who else has a boat, has a ship there?
Who?
Blackwater, Z.
Oh,
they have their own battleship. Yeah.
The Republican Party's meeting, having one of their big meetings at Blackwater. That's inappropriate.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there. That's out front. That's right.
Well, they're coming out of the closet, I guess.
I applaud them when they're up front,
Yeah. At least they're being true to themselves.
I can deal with. I mean, it's like,
That's you can see them coming now.
Yeah, right.
But well, then, what about all the wonderful technology that we know has been developed and back engineered through black projects for 60 years, and the stuff that came over from Project Paperclip and blah blah blah? I mean, we should have free energy by now, and their bases on Mars and on Moon.
We should have had it over 50 years ago. And frankly, if Nikola Tesla wasn't shot down by J.P. Morgan, we would have had it back then.
We would have had
it in the 20s or 30s, you know.
But no, he had to make $1 trillion off of it.
Yeah, well, J.P. Morgan, that's true. That's the left brain versus the right brain again. Here we go.
Here we are still dealing with J.P. Morgan's case and...
They couldn't charge for it, so of course they're not going to let it be broadcast.
Exactly. I mean, mm-hmm. people are going to have to wake up and just yank their money out of those places and pull the rug out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, or something.
But anyway, yeah, we could have been, we could, and Tesla did say, which is an honor to his consciousness, he did say to J.P. Morgan, he said, you know, the problem is, you know, you and I together, the great industrialist and the great mind, and he knew that his mind did not come, that someone of his giftedness does not incarnate very often here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Between us, we could have taken this world ahead hundreds of years, you know, I mean, in a leap, in a leap. He said, the problem is you're a mortal, but I am an immortal.
Yeah.
And that's what he said to J.P. Morgan. I mean, it's like, he did know what he was doing, you know.
Oh.
It was J.P. Morgan that didn't know. And when J.P. Morgan finally found out, because he didn't know what Tesla was up to most of the time, because he couldn't understand it. He just knew that it was making him money. But, they've been squelching energy. Because the thing is, it's all about power and control. It's not about, you know, I mean, why are we still on fossil fuels? I mean, we could have been out of that way over 50 years ago, you know.
And I'm sure that that has some negative impact on the plates, because the oil is a lubricant, like we have blood in our systems to lubricate.
Yeah, like blood.
And we've been sucking the oil out. No wonder we're having earthquakes now, because the plates are so tight, they're just ready to snap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it seems like there's a lot of little things falling into place that might just, you know, it might be like that movie V for Vendetta, where all the dominoes fall at once.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, I think they're setting up that way, actually, right now. I mean, I keep watching it, and I keep my eyes on the news, and that's what I have spoken about in some of the articles I wrote. But I'm watching for energetics. It's basically what I'm looking for. It's like, when are they, when are they cracking, and how many things aren't they accomplishing? And if you want to know about intervention, you're never going to hear about it on CNN. I mean, they're never going to say, well, we failed to, you know, destroy a nation today because somebody interceded. And, you know, I mean, we're never going to get news reports like that ever. But a lot of failed plans are taking place here, and they are losing their grip completely, you know, and it's just a matter of whether they're going to do a scorched earth policy on the way out, which, of course, they're capable of. And, it's how much damage are we going to sustain before we pull through it? That's all. And my hope, great hope, is that we can get through it with very little damage, you know. But who knows? I mean, and that takes people just kind of waking up. And, you know, if we pulled back our energy from them, they'd be lost at sea.
Yeah. And one of the best way is to raise your own vibration and start moving into your heart chakra and not expressing negativity and fear.
Yeah. I have some friends that are highly political, and they look at everything, and you could get one email after another about, look what they're doing now, and look what they're doing, and I think, why don't you stop feeding them? I mean, you know, the thing is, they're not the only gig in town anyway.
Right.
And they certainly are no power compared to what's coming in here.
Right.
You know, they're just, you know, they're, you know, less than athlete's foot. I mean, they're not the gig, you know, and by constantly focusing on every rotten thing they're up to next is a way to feed it, you know. It's like, but at the same time, I'm not of the school of thought that, you know, we ignore this and pretend it isn't happening and just vibe right. That's a little too very fairy for me. But, so I, you know, in other words, I try to keep a balance with that one. Be aware of what they're up to, but I certainly would not, don't give them the fear that they're asking for fear and homage.
Yeah.
And that's what cannot give, because that's to worship a lesser God.
Yep, I agree with you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left, and I wanted you to have time to share whatever you would like to share with the audience, whether it's about the book or your travels or what's next for you, or parting thoughts.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to get to Hawaii. That's what's up. If anyone has a plane and would like to go to Hawaii, I can't stand the idea of going to an airport. All right, that's one request. You never know who's out there. And
true.
No, you don't. I mean, I've learned them a long time ago. You never know who's listening. So, basically, what I'm doing, I'm going to take some time in Hawaii to really get clear about which direction I need to go in, and I feel like pulling out of here is the best thing I can do right now. You know, to just to expand and get in touch. I am swimming with the whales. There's some like 10,000 in Maui right now.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
Yeah, and they're all giving birth, and pretty soon they will be leaving for Alaska, so I got to get there sooner than later.
Yeah, get there before...
I'm swimming with the dolphins. I'm sorry, I'm going to try to avoid swimming with the sharks. That's the only thing I'm... But anyway, that's my Hawaiian, and I'll be in the company of Max.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
Be speaking there, too, you know, so...
Well, we'll have to keep in touch, and you'll have
to
let me know how that goes.
I definitely will. Yeah. Oh, you'll probably see it on my website. You'll see what.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're interested, we can always do another show about Max.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'll let you know. I'll give you a call personally and tell you when I get back.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
From there and just to see what this one's really about, because it's a little bit of a mystery to me at the moment.
Well, it sounds like fun. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
I wish I could go with you. I'll carry your bags. You never know who's out there.
No, you never know who's out there, Lance. Go ahead.
They might
yeah.
just say, okay, you can go too.
Yeah.
Wish granted.
It's just like the show can run itself, right. Then
yeah.
you can run it from Hawaii anyway,
could you? Well, I've got
yeah.
a good friend in Hawaii. I would love to go. Well,
mm-hmm.
when the time is right, you know, I'm kind of a
mm-hmm.
recluse, and I'm stuck at home here, in my little palace in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and
nice.
Before we go, I want to make sure that everybody knows where to find you. It's at www.et101.org, and there you
yeah,
can find...
Yeah, it's also or.net, either one.
Or.net, and you can find
yes,
articles and announcements and all kinds of fun things and a place to purchase ET101, which is
yep.
a must-have for everybody. Well, Diana,
thanks.
I thank you so much for being on the show. It was you're just a pleasure to have on the show and a delight to talk to, and I wish you were well on your trip to Hawaii, and let's keep in touch.
Okay, Lance, thank you so much. And you're
all right. Thanks
too.
A lot, Diane. I really appreciate it.
<All right. laughs>
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.